Well, good morning, everyone. We are back again, and we are now actually twice a week now with NFL Fantasy Matchup. And Jed, I'm seeing Walter Payton and Duncan Keith in your background as you're sitting in your Chicago home. Jimmy's back in his office over in Arizona, and so welcome, everyone.
Morning.
Morning.
Well, hey, look, we had our mock draft on Saturday, and so let me actually go through some of these different rounds from the mock draft and see what your thoughts are. In the first round that we had, I'd love to get your thoughts. Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, you and Jed and I had the first pick. Jed, it was not a surprise. It is surprising that one of the players, and Jed, we're not going to talk about my mistake with two quarterbacks, but look, Devontae Adams, one of our new friends, Chris, picked Devontae Adams with the third pick, then Derrick Henry, and then your son went and picked up Ezekiel Elliott in the fourth pick. Jed, what do you think of that?
Yeah, no, I thought that was a mistake. You know, he basically, his argument was that Devontae Adams was a more sure thing. But I can maybe, like, actually, I don't like the Ezekiel Elliott pick. But Derrick Henry, in my mind, I don't know how you skip out on Derrick Henry there. Yeah. And, you know, again, it just, I guess it depends on your strategy. Did he pick wide receivers all the way down? Like, when did he get his next running back? Because otherwise, I just think that's too early.
Which this individual did, Devontae Adams, his second pick was Travis Kelce, and then Najee Harris was his third pick.
Yeah, so he went kind of with the strategy you were talking about, Jimmy, where he's like going no running back, hitting it later. You know, the problem, and here's why, for those of you who don't know why running backs are so valued, it's because when you look at the average points, the average amount of touches, it always, the running back, other than the quarterback position, running back is always the highest scoring position. And the difference between the first tier and the second tier is the biggest drop. So when you go from first tier to second tier for a wide receiver, the drop isn't as big. And so that's why you're not as worried about dropping down. So I personally, you know, again, depending on your strategy, and maybe that's what, you know, he was trying to figure out how to do. In that case, picking Devontae Adams as the first wide receiver makes sense. But at the third pick, that just feels really early to me.
I do think it's pretty high, right? But here's my argument for it, right? My argument for it is, you're right. Usually the first pick in the first round, you want to make sure it's a sure thing, right? You want to make sure, and usually sometimes running backs have a tendency to get injured throughout the year. Again, if you fast forward towards the end of most of these fantasy season, usually the running back who you started with is not the running back who you ended up with. But if you look at the wide receivers, most of them usually stay the same. So I guess that's the argument, is if you really, really do want a sure thing, Devontae Adams is a sure thing. Now, the question is, do you pick him up over a Derrick Henry or Alvin Kamara? And I just don't think so right now.
Jim, let me actually go with you. One of our other players picked up Saquon Barkley in round two over an Aaron Jones, over a Najee Harris, over Antonio Gibson or Stephon Diggs. What do you think?
Well, I think they're all looking at the ceiling, right? Because Saquon Barkley, if you look back, what, a couple of years ago when he first came out, he was like the best running back in terms of yardage and fantasy impact. Now he's coming off a season where he's injured. His ceiling is high, but that's a high risk. Again, it goes back to the first round strategy. If I'm going to pick somebody, I want to make sure my pick is going to be there for a majority of the season. And right now, the way Saquon's worked, he's a risk I don't want to take. I'd much rather take a Najee Harris or even an Aaron Jones.
Jed, I know you love Justin Jefferson. For my first wide receiver, I picked Calvin Ridley and then Justin Jefferson. I bypassed Stephon Diggs. I bypassed DK Metcalf. I bypassed DeAndre Hopkins. What do you think?
Yeah, that was a big one. You know, I like it, though. I mean, you got to sometimes swing for the fences. And, you know, again, this is about, have we seen the ceiling of players versus players who we don't know the ceiling? And Justin Jefferson is on the ascension. We haven't seen, at least we don't know yet, if we've seen the peak. And so I do kind of like that. The one argument I'd make is Stephon Diggs. I feel like we probably have seen his ceiling, but boy, it's a pretty high ceiling. Mm-hmm. So I think I might have picked Diggs over Justin Jefferson. But either way, you got two awesome wide receivers that really kind of locks in that position in your strategy for you.
And Chad, wouldn't you say a lot of times it also depends on how much you love your player, let's say Justin Jefferson, because, you know, in a snake draft, by the time it goes and let's say you're the number two in the 10 team league and it comes around, Jefferson will be gone. Do you love him enough where you want to bypass all the other players too?
Yeah, exactly. You definitely have to look for in a snake draft. You have to do that. You have to look forward. You also have to think about runs in snake drafts. Like, are people going to just run through wide receivers, run through tight ends? So that's another thing to think about. But I agree. I don't have any problem doing that. I've always told people when you play fantasy, even if you're playing for money, I think it's fine to pick players that you like because it's fantasy is for fun, right? So if you want to get the guy on your team, go for it.
I think my guess is there is going to be a run amongst those receivers, right? The Ridleys, the Jeffersons, the Hopkins of the world, the Diggs, DK Metcalf. I think all of those are going to go one right after the other. And I can see them all going towards the beginning of the second round, middle of the second round.
Yep.
It look at the results right now. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen are your first two quarterbacks. Nothing there as well, too. Jim, you actually bypassed George Kittle and picked up, and even Kyle Pitts, and picked up Darren Waller. Why Darren Waller so early in the fourth round?
You know, I think it just goes back. I mean, I know we're supposed to talk about tight ends. I've just waited way too long for tight ends, and I really like the idea of having one of the two or three top tight ends, right? Like last year, I had George Kittle. I actually think that this year he's going to be pretty good. He was injured for quite a bit of the season last year. This year he's going to have Jimmy G, and most likely Trey Lance is going to be the quarterback. Kittle's the safety net for them. I just think that Waller has a higher upside. You know, Travis Kelce, I am surprised, has been going pretty early on in either the latter end of the first round or early second rounds. And so for me, I was like, I still can't justify using my first pick for a tight end. So that's one of the reasons why I decided I'm gonna really go after Waller towards the second round. So
yeah, one of the things that we start seeing is that there is a certain love. Jimmy picked up ETN over players like a Joe Mixon, over players like a DeAndre Swift or Darrell Henderson. What do you think of that?
Yeah, Joe Mixon really dropped in our draft. He went very late. I want to say he went maybe third, fourth round or something. So it was way too late. But, you know, again, I think ETN is these rookies, they're unknown quantities. But I don't have a problem with that because a lot of times, too, I think with the rookie, you're also playing for the second half of the season. Like you're going to use them in the first half and hope that they get in right away. But even if they don't, you're waiting for that big burst in the second half. And I think ETN, they could explode down there. You know what to see.
Yeah, I think ETN, Javonte Williams over in Denver, I actually think is a prime candidate for it. I always think that, I think ESPN was talking about him the other day. He's going to be very similar to Cam Akers. Beginning, there's going to be him and Melvin Gordon are going to share running back duties. You're going to see him come on in week 13, 14. And if you pick him up, I actually think that he'll help you win your league.
Hey, Jim, some of the players that were really, really high last year, I saw took a drop. I'm looking at it. Amari Cooper took a huge drop. Kenny Galladay took a huge drop. Adam Thielen, Miles Sanders took a huge drop. Thoughts on any of those?
Kenny Galladay worries me. So does Amari Cooper. I mean, here's the thing. With Amari Cooper, you don't even know who the quarterback is, right? Like, they're saying that it's going to be Dak Prescott. But you're not entirely sure. There's a lot of worry coming out of Dallas. And so, and even then, CeeDee Lamb, and you've got, what's that other guy? Who's the other?
Michael Gallup.
Michael Gallup there. With Kenny Galladay, I just don't trust Kenny Galladay. I don't trust Daniel Jones. So I'm going to bypass him. And with Miles Sanders, you know what? I don't know. Like, again, that's not a risk I'm ready to take. I'd much rather take a risk on ETN as well as Javonte Williams.
Yeah, I think CeeDee Lamb went before Amari Cooper in our draft. Which I think is right. Like, I don't think that's wrong. I think, you know, just like Calvin Ridley, you know, up in Atlanta, I think CeeDee Lamb is the number one wide receiver in Dallas. And so that's who I would take.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Hey, Adam Thielen, Jay, why do you think he dropped so much? I mean, for PPR, he has a pretty good possession.
Yeah, I think PPR is different. I think I do think you have to, again, know your leagues. You know, if you're in a league where you're getting a point per every reception, you got to look at attempts. That was the other thing I was going to mention as you're evaluating your running backs and your wide receivers. I think the number of attempts is a really big deal. Mm-hmm. That's also why I really like Derrick Henry, because you look, he led the league in attempts. I think for the past last year, he was number one in attempts, and I think he's top three for the past 3 years. So you have to look at that. And so, yeah, I think in that case, you know, but Justin Jefferson, his ascension, I think ultimately, you know, that's why you see that drop.
Well, that's why in a PPR league, to be honest, I'm more than willing to take the risk on going heavy on wide receivers early on and then going after Kareem Hunt, Etienne, some of these other backs, because the fact that they're able to receive out of the backfield really makes a difference for me.
Got it. James Robinson, Jim. I mean, I know you like James Robinson. I'm not sure if he's on your dynasty. I mean, he just is dropping. Is it more because of Etienne and low confidence in James Robinson?
I think so, right? I think both Joe Mixon as well as also James Robinson last year. Last year he was undrafted, but both of them did pretty well, right, at the beginning of the season. But this year there's a lot of uncertainty around it, right? With Mixon, to be honest, like people, there's too many wide receivers out there, and he fizzled out towards the end. With the other running back, who was the other running back? I'm trying to remember who we're talking about.
Mixon and Etienne,
was it? With who?
James Robinson and Etienne.
Oh, Etienne. James Robinson, like, the best they can do is maybe share carries. And to be honest, I was like, unless Etienne is out of the picture, I don't know if I really want to draft James Robinson that high, you know? So.
Yeah, but if you get him late, you know, again, I think that's a really good flyer. Like, if you're looking, you know, seventh, eighth, ninth round. You know, the thing with sleepers, here's what I always say about sleepers. You have to have some sleepers hit to win a championship. Yeah. And so you want to have, like, multiple. You want to have three or four. Don't expect to hit all of them. Expect that of your three guesses, only one's going to hit. But that's all you need is just one. Then you just drop the other two. You know, it's kind of like your draft strategy. You know, if you're 50% right on sleepers, you're doing pretty good.
Okay, let me ask you guys something. Here's a question. Who's this year's James Robinson? The player that most people will not draft, and he's going to be left sitting on your waiver wire, and you can pick up and will help you with your championship.
Okay, I bet you before Jed says, because I'm looking at his, what you drafted, you would say Trey Sermon.
Yep, Trey Sermon. I think Trey Sermon in San Francisco, I think he can win out in that backfield for the second half of the year. This is a guy who ran for 300 yards, people. You don't ever see that. That never has happened.
But you don't think Mostert being on the roster is going to hurt Sermon?
Yeah, in the beginning for sure. So I'm banking on something happening, either an injury or just something where Trey takes over there. But I think he could have a monster. I mean, that the running game in San Francisco is goldmine, right? So if you can get into that running game, it's just we need one person to solidify that. So I think it could be Trey Sermon.
And the concern always with Mostert is he gets injured early. And when he does well, he seems to get injured all the time. That opens the door for Sermon. And we find that a lot of times Shanahan will give it to the hot hand, which actually could be Trey Sermon.
Yeah, and if you know Shanahan's history, I think back to Clinton Portis way back when, man. Mm-hmm. Clinton Portis, I rode him to a championship his rookie year, and it's the same thing. Once he gets that guy going, he'll stick with him.
Yeah. Agreed.
How about you, Tom? Do you know who do you think is going to be the?
You know what? I would probably say Trey Sermon as well too. I think just because I love the running back situation over at San Francisco, I think the Shanahans always do well with their run blocking scheme. They just do a very, very good job.
I think for me, I would put Michael Carter, the running back out of New York, and I actually think Trey Lance will be this year's Justin Herbert. So those are my two people that I
– Man, that Trey Lance one is crazy. I mean, I remember in our draft someone else was talking about that. I mean, just everything that I'm reading is that he's not anywhere close to starting. So I think maybe in the second half – but yeah, it definitely seems like a risk. Like you definitely hear a lot more about it. Justin Fields, for example, in Chicago, mm-hmm. everyone is talking about Fields starting. Nobody is.
Yeah. Fields has really risen in the ranks a lot. Yeah.
But no one is clamoring for Trey Lance to start. Like you're not hearing like, oh, he's ready to start. But, you know, so I don't know. I feel like it's a risk. He could be maybe in, you know, down the line, but I just feel like, I don't know if it's.
I think Jimmy G is going to get injured. I think Trey Lance is going to come in, and I think he'll keep the roster spot. And then they're going to figure out a way to trade Jimmy G.
Maybe it'll be the two trades. You'll have Trey Sermon and Trey Lance like running the show.
Yeah. Jim, here's one sleeper from Arizona that I don't think I've ever heard. Rondale Moore, one of our guys drafted Rondale Moore. He's from Arizona. What do you know about him?
Okay, so I don't know if you saw this last preseason game. So they threw him the ball almost 15 times. I mean, which is crazy. Most likely, they'll never throw the ball to him 15 times in a regular season because they got Hopkins, they got the running backs, they got, you know, Kyler Murray running around all over the place. But I actually, you know what? Here's my thing is I think he's got some potential from a dynasty perspective. The issue with most of the Arizona folks is outside of the running backs and even DeAndre Hopkins, most of them just catch the ball and that's it. Like there's no yards after the catch. And so I think that's the only issue that they have with Rondale Moore is he's fast, he can catch the ball, but he's so small. Are you going to get the big play potential right after that?
Yeah, and plus at the same time, you still have AJ Green on the team as well, too, as a new addition to the team.
Who was it? Larry Fitzgerald was on the team the last few years, and it's not like he really made that much of a dent. They were always hoping that Christian Kirk would come alongside. He actually had a couple games where he did pretty well. So I can see Rondale Moore towards the end of the season having a couple good catches and a couple good games where you can do well, but I don't think AJ Green's going to do much.
Where did Larry Fitzgerald end up? Anyone know?
Oh, he's still a free agent. He's still out there.
Because he's got that streak. He's got that streak going of catches. So
I could see him just going back and signing some 1-year contract with Arizona and just calling it a day.
Yep. Hey, switching gears a little bit in terms of NFL news and notes that I want to talk a little bit about. Daryl Henderson, ESPN reports that the Rams appear all in on running back Daryl Henderson. Jed, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's nothing wrong with that. I mean, the Rams are on the up and up. They're another one where we just don't know what's going to happen. But boy, I like the situation with Stafford. I like, you know, seeing what's going to happen, how he's going to elevate the team. If you've been reading the training camp things, everyone is saying how, you know, everyone's pumped, they're excited. I mean, same. It's like the Tom Brady effect, right? So, I mean, Daryl Henderson, yeah, that's not a bad, you know, he had some pretty good games. If I recall,
he had three games, so he did really, really well.
Yeah, I was going to say over 20 points, over 25 points at least a couple times. So, not a bad thing to take a swing on.
I have been rethinking the Daryl Henderson, right? So, if you get to the point of a lot of these mock drafts, it's usually a Daryl Henderson and a DeAndre Swift. The only thing that concerns me about Swift right now is he's got this groin injury that you don't know is going to linger, right? So when you get to that point, do you choose a Henderson or a Swift? I've been choosing Swift. I may change my mind and actually start re-looking at Henderson going forward.
Got it. Adam Schefter's podcast had Austin Eckler on, and he has his own fantasy football team. He says that he should be drafted number one. What do you think, Jim?
I think, like he said, he's going to be playing the Alvin Kamara role. So if you trust that and you trust how Alvin Kamara has done well in some of these offenses that New Orleans has run, hey, I don't think he'll go one, but I actually think that he's worthy of a top, you know, first round, early second round consideration.
Yeah, he's a top 10 back, I think. I would put him there, but definitely not first round. I mean, I expect him to say nothing less, but I'm not putting him as the number one pick.
When Adam Schefter, Jed, asked him who his sleeper was, he says, don't fall asleep on Jared Cook over in Los Angeles. Is Jared Cook even on your radar here, Jed?
No, that's interesting. I mean, Cook back in his Tennessee days, right? He had some pretty good years. So yeah, that's an interesting one. I hadn't even thought of Jared Cook. But yeah, you got to figure that, you know, Stafford's going to have to, you know, look at his tight end. He's always had a good connection with this tight end. And so that could be.
No, that's Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert.
He's actually moved over to the Chargers.
Yeah,
he's
to no the Chargers. Longer with the Rams. Okay. Yeah. So that's interesting. Yeah, I could see that. He looks like he's going about in the 15th, 16th. Like he's kind of in the mid tier as far as the tight ends. But maybe he squeezes into the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Last thing, Trevor Lawrence. According to Peter King, his evaluation of Trevor Lawrence's first game, uneven. He held the ball too long in his first couple of snaps and also got sacked and needs to pay more attention. Are you even drafting him at all, Jim? Are you even looking at him?
I am not right now. I think this is all hype, but I think Justin Fields at the end of the day will become the best quarterback in this draft. Second by Trey Lance and third by Trevor Lawrence. I just think Trevor Lawrence will have a couple of really good games, but from a significant fantasy impact, I don't think we should expect it. I do expect that from Justin Fields though.
Jed, last one before we move over to tight ends, Mac Jones is still in the clear-cut battle with Cam Newton. What do you think of that? Who's going to end up winning the
Yeah, Mac and Cheese, man. That's a great nickname he got. You know, I didn't even think about the Kraft connection. That's like a really good nickname for Mac Jones. I think it would be a mistake. I cannot imagine he's going to start the season. Belichick, you know he has a preference for veterans. I just can't imagine that he's going to start. But could he take over later? It certainly seems like it. I've been impressed by the reports. Again, feels like he's poised. You know, there's just something about these college players, when you stick them in live action, it's the guys who don't get rattled, the guys who they act like they've been there. And you feel like that's what Mac Jones, that's what Justin Fields are doing, is they're commanding the offense in a way that it feels like they've been there before. And so I could see it down the line, but I don't think he'll start the season.
Cam Newton was just so bad last year as a fantasy player, though. I mean, he really is. He is so past his prime. I'm waiting for Mac Jones to come in.
Yeah, but I mean, in his defense, they have like no one to throw to. Like now, at least they've got the two tight ends. So it should open up a little bit. But I agree. You know, the leash will probably be pretty short on Cam Newton. But I think, yeah, if you want to take a flyer on Mac Jones for down the line, I don't think that's a bad play.
Okay, who do you think is going to be the best wide receiver this year for New England?
Oh man, who knows? Who do they? Oh, actually, yeah, I was gonna say the best catcher is gonna be one of the tight ends. But if you're saying specifically to the wide receivers, I have no idea.
I would probably say Keneal Harry. He probably has the best results coming out of training camp. But even with that, Jacoby Myers might be one. I mean, it comes down to one of those two.
No, you know who they have this year? Who's going to be the best one? Nelson Aguilar.
Oh,
that's who they have. They signed him from Las Vegas. I bet. He'll have a Robbie Anderson type year. You know, he'll be your third wide receiver. But Nelson Aguilar, I actually think will have some sort of in a 12-team league. I'll go after Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah. Hey, switching over to tight ends, Jim. I heard your thoughts about you wanting to draft tight ends early, so I'll start with Jed. Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Darren Waller really make up your three tight ends. Are any of them that people that you love that you say, Tommy, I'm going to draft these guys in the first two rounds?
You know, I have never been a fan of taking the tight end. Definitely not with the first pick. I think with your second pick, it depends on, again, where, how far down you are and where the wide receivers are at. But yeah, I mean, I think Kelce and Kittle, I'm still not totally sure about Waller. I mean, Jimmy, you had a decent argument there. But I feel like, you know, Kelce and Kittle, they have enough production to where if you wanted to pick them over a wide receiver, I could go with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's my argument, right? Let's take Kelce out of the way. If you look at Kittle and Waller, they'll give you a good, consistent 12 to 14 points every week. Those are good 12 to 14 points. If you can supplement them with a couple of good running backs and some good receivers and good, quarterback, you've got a pretty sustainable lineup with people, with players who can potentially have double digits every week, right? If you wait further and you go after Dallas Goedert, Irv Smith, Gesicki, even a Higbee, a Tonyan, you're lucky if you can get 8, maybe 9 points. And so for me, that extra 5 or 6 points is actually worth it to go after the Kittles and Wallers of the world just because they're so consistent. And if you can also get the right wide receivers and running backs too.
But my argument actually is I actually don't like drafting the three tight ends early in the round. I wait for Hockenson, and maybe he'll get me 10, 11 points. If he doesn't, I'm going to load it up with depth in my wide receivers and running back and then make trades to try to get to someone in last place who has a decent tight end and try to work out trades that way. All right. Next one. I know a lot of times tier two, Mark Andrews, Kyle Pitts, TJ Hockenson. Mm-hmm. Comment on any of those three.
You know, Kyle Pitts is the highest potential out of all of those three, right? And so for me, if I'm looking after Waller, I actually would consider Pitts, Hockenson first, and then Andrews if those guys are gone. Pitts, for me, I'm like, has a lot of potential. I think it'll take him a few games to get early on, but I actually can see him at some point ascending into the higher echelon of tight ends because he has so much, you know, so much potential out there. Hockenson, you never know. There's nobody else for Jared Goff to throw. he might actually do something pretty decent this year on a weekly basis. And then Mark Andrews, quite honestly, will get you – he's got a couple of games where he'll score quite a bit, but he'll get you your 9 to 11 points every week.
Jed, I see that smile on your face because I know how much you love Mark Andrews. A couple of things about Mark Andrews is Andrews was behind only Travis Kelce and Darren Waller among tight ends with a 25 target share in 2020. He ranked as your fourth best tight end in both fantasy points and fantasy points per game last year and was the fifth most targeted tight end in the red zone. Thoughts on Mark Andrews?
Yeah, I mean, I like Mark Andrews. He definitely had a down year last year. I had him last year as well, and it was a down year for him. But I always feel like just as a statistician, you know, regression to the mean, right? So a lot of these players, if they had a bad year, you can expect some bounce back. And so I expect Andrews to do well this year. I think he's going to have the big thing, we just mentioned this, the target share and the targets in the red zone are all really good things pointing up for Mark Andrews. But here's the thing with Kyle Pitts is what I'll say is if you're going to swing the fences for a Kyle Pitts, you better have make sure that on your running back and wide receiver picks, you didn't do the same thing.
No,
picks there, and you took a chance at the tight end position. If not, then you got to go with one of the other guys who's more consistent and more sure.
You know what, Jed? That is great advice, right? Because if you're going to – okay, so for instance, if you're going to take a Saquon Barkley in the first round, you come back around and you take, I don't even know a receiver that you might take a risk on, but you better make sure you're hitting on both of those before you pick up the Kyle Pitts, because those are two out of three is going to be risky.
Exactly. All right. That's what I'm saying.
As we are recording this, Jim, let me ask you breaking news by Adam Schefter in terms of tight ends. Tim Tebow has been released by the Jaguars.
Oh,
was he someone on your radar?
Did you guys see the myth? You guys saw the missed block, right? Everyone was making fun of him for that huge missed block he had.
Oh, yeah. But don't you feel sad for Tim Tebow? You know, like he worked so hard. And I feel like no one – I mean, even that year he was the quarterback for Denver, he wasn't the best throw, but he did pretty well. I don't know. I just feel like he's such a hard worker. But I think the fact that he was so stubborn and didn't want to move from – quarterback to another position hurt him in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, he was basically Taysom Hill before Taysom Hill. And so the league just wasn't ready yet. And for some reason, he didn't get the PR, you know, to where everyone likes him. But I agree. To me, this is his own fault. If he had a switched earlier, I think he would have been fine. He's definitely an athlete. He's proven that. But he waited too long. I mean, he's 30, 32?
Yeah, he's pretty old. Yeah, I mean, no, think about it. Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill is not the best thrower in the world. But he most likely is going to be the starting quarterback for the Saints because he's able to do what Tim Tebow did many years ago.
Is that the thing coming out that he's going to start? I'm just blown away by that.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that Taysom Hill right now has the edge over Jameis Winston.
I just can't believe that. I mean, Taysom, to me, it's still just gimmicky. Like, it might work for the first couple games, but by the third, fourth, fifth games, I think the coordinators will have it all figured out and the book will be out on him.
Jet, let me actually switch over as we run out of time over to another tight end as well, too, Dallas Goedert. Let me ask you, in 2019, Goedert was a top 10 fantasy tight end. In 2020, he was on pace for another top 10 finish before getting injured. He missed 5 games in 2020 with the ankle injury. The Eagles did not trade Zach Ertz. Are you concerned about Dallas Goedert, or would you have confidence in Dallas Goedert this year?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't pick Dallas Goedert. I mean, I like him as a player, but he's just too injury prone. I remember even back, didn't he start in Dallas? I mean, he had injuries before, so that is not someone that I'd be confident with. And especially at that position, if you're saying like roughly the 9th pick, I mean, look who else is out there. You've got Mike Gesicki, you've got Tyler Higbee, you've got Logan Thomas, even New England tight ends, Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. I mean, I think those are all people that I'd like to take a chance on over. Over him.
Yeah. Here's my sleeper tight ends for this year. My sleeper tight ends is going to be Logan Thomas. I actually think he will do pretty well. I actually think that, Troutman, Adam Troutman from the Saints. I want to go after him. I actually think that he will do pretty well as well too.
Got it. Jim, but let me ask you a quick question in terms of Logan Thomas. A lot of people love Logan Thomas in 2020. He actually finished as a tight end three in PPR. He had more targets, receptions, yards in 2020 than his first five seasons combined. He is ranked lower, according to our rankings in terms of ESPN. He's ranked lower than Noah Fant, Tyler Higbee, Dallas Goedert, and Mike Gesicki. Should Logan Thomas be higher up on your chain?
Yes, because of the Fitzpatrick effect. If you look at all the teams that Fitzpatrick has been on, they've produced some really, really good fantasy numbers. And I think Logan Thomas is going to be one of them that's going to benefit from Fitzpatrick.
Got it. Hey, Jed, a couple, talking a little bit more, comment on this group as well, too. Some of the lower-ranked tight ends, let's say, for instance, all the good tight ends are you're loading up on running backs, you're loading up on tight ends. If you had a choice between these, who would you choose? Blake Jarwin, Rob Gronkowski, Evan Ingram, or Gerald Everett over in Seattle? Who do you like?
Oh, man, that's tough.
Gerald Everett. Blake Jarwin, Rob Gronkowski, or Irv Smith?
Evan Ingram.
Or Evan Ingram.
Yeah. You know, I think I actually might go with Jarwin in Dallas. I think that's an interesting it looks like he was out last year with his ACL tear, but you know, that could be an interesting, again, I'd be looking for upside. Gronkowski, you kind of know what you're going to get, and really Gronkowski is really they protect him during the season, right? And so he comes on maybe towards the second half as he's gearing up for the playoffs. Evan Ingram, we've talked about the issues in with the Giants. You know, actually maybe Ingram's not a bad flyer there too. You know, he has production, and if you trust the quarterback situation is getting better, maybe that's not a bad one. But I actually, of those, I think I would go with Blake Jarwin.
I don't know, Gerald Everett in Seattle, I think he's gonna be their number one tight end. I think just like they used what's his name a few years ago, the guy who's now on the Bears, the
Cole
tight
Komet.
End
Cole Komet.
Yeah, no, not Komet. I don't know, he used to be on the Packers anyways. He used to be on the Saints and the Bears.
Jimmy Graham.
Yeah,
Jimmy Graham.
I think Everett's going to be get a lot of red zone targets.
Now, yeah, there's a lot of mouths to feed in Seattle, but I mean, obviously the passing game there is phenomenal, and you know, the fact that Russell Wilson has, you know, like really seemed to be hyping the guy up, that suggests that that might not be a bad pick.
Look, we know Chris Carson's going to get injured, and we know he's going to be out for a few games, and they're going to need a big player in the red zone, and that's where Everett's going to come in.
Jim, you mentioned a sleeper in terms of Adam Troutman. He has a real chance to see a massive jump, especially with Michael Thomas's injury, and there's really no one besides in terms of Alvin Kamara. Do you like him enough where you would bypass the top tight ends and wait until the last couple rounds because no one's probably going to pay attention to Troutman and pick him up?
How about this? I look at it as I go on the extremes. If I can't get one of the top three or four tight ends, like for me, it's Pitts, Waller, Kelsey, and what do you call it? Who's the top tight end? Kelsey or Kittle, I'm going to go after the Troutman. You know, like, because I think the upside of the Troutman for what you can get is pretty high. So I'm on the extremes of the tight ends.
The one thing I'll say that's interesting, and I think that's the first time I saw it was last year, and I think we'll continue this year, is you can play two tight ends in your starting lineup. You never saw that before where you might consider a second tight end in your flex spot, but now tight end, the production has risen so much to compete with wide receivers that you could actually start two tight ends. So knowing that, then I think if you, exactly like Jimmy said, if you pick a stud tight end first and then you on the back end at the very last round, you pick one of these last guys to potentially be your second tight end spot, I think that's not a bad play.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I probably would have said, if I'm looking at it, I would, if it was now, I picked Michael Troutman, I would probably either pick Zach Ertz, and I probably would go over to Jonnu Smith. And then from that point on, see how well they do. If they don't do well, I'm making a trade. I'm going to load it up all on running backs, wide receivers, avoid quarterbacks, avoid tight ends, all of that stuff, and then wait to the end for an injury or something like that. Because by then, I've loaded up on running backs and wide receivers.
Mm-hmm. See, Tommy and I have different strategies because for me this year, my quarterback is always Kyler Murray because I want at least one of the top quarterbacks. He's going to wait for his quarterback and go after, I don't know, like whoever.
Ryan Tannehill or Carson Wentz.
Yeah, he's going to go after one of those guys, right? And then for me, I also want a good tight end. And he's going to wait towards the end for a tight end. I'll wait for the running back. I'll wait for the running. And I think there's tons of wide receivers out there that I can find a couple of good pickups in the waiver wire or towards the end of the rounds.
Well, I appreciate you both sharing your strategies. I'll be sure to capitalize this year.
Well, that's the worst is when you're doing an auction league, you know which players everyone's going to go after. And I was like, crap, they're going to overbid me on these guys.
All right. I was hoping to squeeze in quarterbacks, but we're gonna come back later on this week, and we're gonna talk about that AFC East, and then from that point, let's squeeze in quarterbacks as well too. Draft is coming up. I know I have one this week. Do any of you guys have any coming up this week? Oh, Jed has to run. Jim, yeah. Do you have anything coming up this week?
I think I have a couple this week, but next week we should talk about auction strategies too, or draft strategies for people. I think that'd be fun.
You got it. All right. All right, he's gone and we got to go. All right, we'll see you Thursday.